Welcome to your five for the day. At home, I have some unusual rulers. At a cursory glance, nothing appears to be out of the ordinary. But when you look closer, one of them has two lines of 12 inches on the top face. Both begin at the same mark, but finish in slightly different positions. In fact, I know someone who tried to make a box using one of these rulers. He took a tape measure and carefully marked the cutting position on one side, and then proceeded to use the ruler to mark out another. When all was done, the box was screwed together, but the lid didn't fit. It was out of square. Taking the tape measure to each of the sides, the discrepancy was soon discovered, but it took a little longer for him to discover that it was because he had used a ruler with a different inch. My rulers were from Grandpa. He was the sort of person who polished his shoes every day before going to work. The sort of person who oiled and polished his tools once a week. He was the sort of person who could craft things out of wood, near perfect. He was a pattern maker. Much of this is done today with the help of computers. But back then, when a manufacturer needed a metal object to be reproduced a number of times, they would have a mould or pattern made for it. One complication with this task is that molten metal shrinks when it cools, so the pattern needed to be slightly larger than the finished object. To save the pattern maker from performing these calculations whilst working on the mould, a pattern maker's ruler would be used with the shrinkage rate already accounted for, hence the larger inch. When God told Moses to build a tabernacle or tent as a place where God would meet with his people, he showed him exactly how it was to be constructed and then gave this very clear instruction. See that you make all things according to the pattern. Meeting with God would be on his terms. When the tent was finished, each item was carefully inspected and every detail was according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. God was pleased and came into the tent to meet with and guide his people. The Bible makes it clear that none of us measure up to the perfect standard of God. Many have tried to measure themselves by their own standard of perfect, which differs from God's. My friend ran into problems when he used a tool with a different inch. The lid might have been adjusted a little to account for the outer square box, but God doesn't compromise his standards to accommodate our errors. He doesn't change. We've got to change. The prophet Isaiah had this message from God. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. In fact, there's a vast difference. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah encouraged the people to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near. God said that if people turn from their wrong, and turn to the Lord, he will have mercy upon him. He will abundantly pardon. The Bible word for turning from our wrong is repentance. But what about our sin? What about our wrong, saying that God won't make a compromise? That's where the Lord Jesus comes in. He's the only one to have ever met God's perfect standard. He never sinned because he's God's Son, and God can't sin. He sets the standard. Yet, Christ suffered for sins, which he never committed, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. If there was any other way, God wouldn't have sent his Son to die. If that's God's way, surely we can't possibly say that my good is good enough. His standard is not worthy to be compared with ours. One of the verses in a hymn written by Cecil Francis Alexander says, "He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood."